You were right. I made a mistake, and we should never have come to this spoiler-filled podcast. We have to leave now.
This is the Flicks X Raid podcast, starting in 5, 4.
Before we get started with this episode, we have a quick reminder for you. This year, on November 7th, we are participating for the second time in the Extra Life charity event. For 24 straight hours, we will be streaming live as we play a tabletop RPG game. We decided to theme it on zombie survival because, you know, it's 2020. We'll be doing this to raise funds for the Alberta Children's Hospital Foundation. So to show support, find the link to our fundraising page on our website or on any one of our social media sites to donate. We look forward to seeing you all on November 7th. Hi, welcome to FlixX Raid. I'm a scorpion in an attic and your host, Tony. And tonight I have joining me as co-host, Mr. Boogie, Sarah.
Boo. And joining us, we also have the Dusty Box with three X's, Phil.
Hello. Tell people how many X's I have. Jesus.
Only three.
It was Tony. Like, he literally put his hand up, so I said it. He's like, you have to say it.
And Deputy So-and-so, Elisa.
Hola.
Hola.
And tonight, we're going to be talking about Sinister.
Ooh, spoopy.
So spoopy.
So spoopy.
But before we get into that,
spooky.
Let's take a moment to get to know our guests. And the question of the night is, have you ever been in a haunted house? We'll start with Phil.
Now, are you talking like
legit
animatronics jumping out at you, or
nah, haunted fuck that house? Shit.
Because
like an actual haunted house, or
from
England, animated,
and everything is old enough to everything is haunted.
Everything is haunted.
Everything is haunted.
You just can't escape death.
I was trying to work.
It's around you every inch.
Everyone's a ghoul at that point. Instead of cool.
Everyone is a ghoul.
But yeah, like honestly, like most of the pubs that I used to go to, especially, and the pub that we owned, I believe, was meant to be haunted as well.
Hold the phone. You owned a pub?
We did. Yes, I think my uncle had. He might have sold it. Honestly. I'm not entirely sure. I don't talk to my uncle. But yes, we owned a pub in England. It was called the Shakespeare Hotel, and then later rebranded as the Shaky, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, I'd rather go to a place called the Shakespeare Hotel.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. It was a little hole in the wall inn kind of thing. It was like three.
The Shaky just
upstairs.
Sounds like a horrible, like, you're making fun of somebody who has Parkinson's.
Yeah. Oh, we got a case of the Shakies.
But, I wonder if Michael J. Fox would go there.
Oh, Tony, no. Bad.
Tony, no.
Bad Tony. Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
All right, so everywhere geez. Phil ever was in his previous living was haunted.
And
about
the funniest
you, Lisa?
Part is,
oh.
I don't believe in ghosts. So
I believe in science.
So you would say you ain't afraid of no ghost?
Exactly.
Elisa, have you ever been in a haunted house, not the animatronic kind?
I supposedly live in one right now.
Ooh.
So the apartment I'm living in is part of a house that was built in 1904. There is supposed to be one ghost here. It's supposed to be a lady. She's supposed to be nice. And so far, no sightings, and I'd prefer to never see anything ever.
So you're a believer?
I don't want to believe in ghosts, but I'm easily frightened.
Mm. So don't look behind you right now.
I just don't want to see one. I'm okay without doing it. I had to watch Sinister during the day.
That's fair.
Speaking volumes,
and I still got
really.
Sarah?
For anyone who's listened to the Conjuring podcast, yes. I also used to work at Heritage Park, and anytime I would have to work the Prince House, I'd always like psych myself out. But there was also a time when I was working in the Livingston House.
Also haunted.
Also haunted. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw somebody like walk past the window, like somebody wearing a brown coat, walk past the window. And it was like the middle of the day. Both doors to the building were open. And so I was like expecting somebody to come in. And then like a couple minutes passed, nobody's come in. I like walk up the stairs. I look around. There's like not a soul in sight. And like I didn't see anybody. Like for them to have walked past the window and then continued on, like I would have seen them elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and I walked outside. I walked around the whole building. Nothing. There was nobody around.
That's fair. So, yeah. I've talked about my experience sleeping in the Prince House.
Yes, you have.
I know I've done that before.
Have you been to the third floor?
Yes.
Oh, so that fucking creepy painting at the top of the stairs of the child.
So creepy.
Ugh, I hate it.
Yeah. Thanks. Imagine that at 1 in the morning.
Nope. Thanks. Yeah, I hate it.
That's what we did with like candles at 1 a.m.
I swear those eyes move. Those eyes 100%. Follow you around the room.
They follow you everywhere.
It's horrifying.
Also, Devo grew up in a house that was haunted.
Really?
Yeah, by children ghosts. You could hear them running in the halls. Spoopy. And shit.
Spoopy.
Occasionally you'd like just see like, right? Occasionally you just like see in the upstairs hall, you just see a kid standing there.
This movie is why I don't want children.
Right?
Yeah. Because kids are horrifying.
Like my sisters have kids and I'd go over and like they'd put the kids to bed and then they have like their little baby monitors on and stuff. And that's
those are terrifying itself. Because
and then every now and again, like you go and you see them like kind of sitting up in the dark, just like looking at the camera with those like white glowing kids are terrifying.
Agreed. I share that sentiment very much so.
Yeah, I didn't need this film to tell me.
Well, this just solidifies me not wanting to have kids. I've already made that decision, yeah. But it's just like, yep.
It's always nice to have your choice affirmed.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like this, I am making a good life choice by not having children. Right? And then I watch this movie and I'm like, yes, I am making a good life choice by not having children.
It's a good decision. Yes.
All right, it's time for a synopsis and starring.
All
sure,
right.
Take it away.
True crime writer Ellison Oswald is in a slump. He hasn't had a bestseller in more than 10 years and is becoming increasingly desperate for a hit. So, when he discovers the existence of a snuff film showing the deaths of a family, he vows to solve the mystery. He moves his own family into the victim's home and gets to work with chaotic results. However, when old film footage and other clues hint at the presence of a supernatural force,
dun, dun, dun!
Ellison learned that living in the house may be fatal.
This movie is directed by Scott Derrickson and is starring Ethan Falcon, Hawk, as Ellison Oswald, Juliet Rylance as Tracy Oswald, Fred Thompson.
I almost spit my water out.
Fred Thompson as Sheriff, James Remsen Sheriff. As Deputy So-and-So, Michael Hal Diario as Trevor Oswald, and Claire Foley as Ashley Oswald.
And who is the Dusty Box?
You are.
Oh, it's just me? I'm the only one?
You are the only one.
The Dusty Box was played by Dusty Box.
Like, as himself.
Played by themselves.
Who played Bagul? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I had that earlier.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yes.
I actually had that put on there, and I was like, nah, that's unnecessary. Michael King. Or Nicholas King, sorry.
Hmm.
Nick King. All right. And with that, it's time for us to play a game.
Dun, 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 dun.
I want to play a game.
Oh, it's a game.
Game
specifically tailored for each participant.
Let's have some fun.
Yeah, let's have some fun.
Ladies, start your engeance.
I'm having a blast. This is the most fun I've had without lubricant.
So you played recently?
A game with drums.
I'm very happy that you're not doing like IMDb synopsises for this one.
No, we're doing a release year for ghost movies.
Oh.
So we'll give you
the least good thing that I can do from a movie.
The least good.
Yeah.
Speaking is the most is good,
right? Maybe.
Phil, how many beers deep are you?
None. I quit drinking. Thank you.
Oh, good really? I'm proud of you.
Yay. Congratulations.
Well, I say Yay. I have. It's been like fortnight or so, I think. But
that's yeah. still good.
Yeah. That is good.
I'm proud that's of you.
I just got some artwork on a beer label.
That's fun.
I haven't drunk any because I got a flat of it a week ago and I don't drink alone.
You should have while you were watching Sinister.
Because of COVID, I haven't seen anybody.
Oh.
That's okay.
Well, we could do it like a Zoom date and we could drink alone together over.
We'll just have to do yeah, that. Yeah.
Via like Zoom or Skype or whatever.
All right.
It'll feel less.
Because I don't like to drink alone either.
Oh,
there's more alcohol in my fridge than there is food.
COVID problems.
COVID problems. But see, also, like, that's part of the reason why I've also lost so much weight is because I've stopped drinking as much.
Amazing.
Yeah. I still drink. I had wine last night because my mom came over for dinner, but...
That's what happened with my dad after he quit drinking.
Yeah.
He lost, like, 40 pounds.
The empty
crazy.
Calories. Like, you don't realize how much... How many calories are in...
Oh, anyway. Anyways. Time for us to play a game.
It's game time!
So, the way this works is, I actually have a bunch of movies in front of me and Sarah here. And we'll give you three options, and you guys have to guess what year the movie came out in. If you get it, you get the point. You guys can both guess the same one, you know, but that's just kind of how it goes. And we'll go back and forth on who's starting. So first off, Sinister, did it come out in 2012, 2013, or 2014? Worth 0 points. Elisa.
2012.
Phil. 12?
I know it's 12.
Well, you're both right.
You're both
get 0 points.
0 points.
Congratulations. You're all tied up. And now for real points.
I was listening to the freaking Conjuring podcast last night and how badly Natasha and I did with this game. But it was the IMDb synopsis and not like the year that came out. Anyways, so Ghost Ship, 2001, 2002, or 2003?
Phil.
What was the movie?
Ghost Ship.
Ghost Ship.
Was that
2001? Is it Ghost Ship?
One?
Is one Ghost
what
Ship? One, two, or three? 2001, 2002,
That's
or 2003?
Phil, what do you think?
I'll go with two. I'll go in the middle.
Elisa?
2001.
Phil gets the point because it's 2002.
Oh, can I switch too?
I know that you're a switch. Number two.
Teehee.
The Conjuring. Did it come out in 2013, King 2014,
joke.
Or 2015? Elisa, you're starting us.
I love this movie.
2013.
Phil.
15?
Elisa gets a point because it's 2013. Hey. All right. The Others. Was it 98, 99, or 2000?
Oh, wow.
That's a movie I haven't watched in a hot minute.
Yeah,
I don't even remember what film that is.
Nicole Kidman?
I'm going to guess 99.
Lisa says 99.
Oh, with the... Oh, with... Yeah, the one...
Yeah.
I can see the box art with her with the lantern in front of her.
Yeah, same.
It's a really nice photo.
I love Nicole Kidman. She's great.
2001.
No.
Not an option.
Not an option.
Wasn't it?
98, 99, or 2000.
2000, then.
Phil gets the point because it was 2000.
I got 2000 there.
Next up, Casper, the friendly ghost. Did it come out in 1993, 1994, or 1995? Phil. Or no, sorry, Elisa.
95.
Phil.
I'm really sorry, but I wasn't paying attention for 2 seconds, and I didn't hear what the film was or any of the years.
Casper. 93, 94, 95.
Five.
With Devon Sawa. It is 95.
You both
right.
Hey.
That was a complete enough, I guess.
Okay, so the next one, The Sixth Sense, 1998, 99, or 2000. Again.
You got the same year range twice in a row.
Yep.
98.
Two different answers, though.
I was going to say 8 as well.
Well, you're both
wrong. You're both wrong. It's 99. You're both wrong.
Oh, the shame.
Next up, it's time to talk about pottery with Ghost. Did it come out in 1990, 1991, or 1992?
Where did it go?
That was that late? Jesus.
92.
One.
92? And 91 are our guesses? Correct answer
you're
is...
You're both wrong, because it's 1990.
What?
Okay, well, who are you going to call for this one? It's Ghostbusters. Is it 1983, 1984, or 1985?
Oh, man.
Ghostbusters!
Was it 85? That's like a banner year for movies.
Are you going with 85?
I'm going to say 85, okay. Yeah.
Phil?
No. 5 as well. It does sound right to me.
And you're both wrong again.
God damn cause it.
It's, oh, no.
It's 1984.
I keep leading you astray.
Next up, Steven Spielberg with Poltergeist.
Is it really that old?
Did it come out in 1982, 1983, or 1984?
They're here.
3.
I still haven't seen it.
Phil says 3.
Phil says 3.
82.
At least it gets the point, because it's 1982.
Yay. All right, we're all tied up. 3-3. Number 9.
Paranormal Activity. 2005, 2006, or 2007?
7.
5.
Phil gets the point because it's 2007.
Curses.
Curse
Next
you.
Up, Ouija. Did it come out in 2013, 2014, or 2015? Phil? Elisa? When are you starting?
Elisa.
I don't remember. Elisa. I lost track.
2013.
2013? Phil?
15.
Ah,
you're both wrong.
2014.
The odds of this happening fairly low.
All right.
Especially because I'm pretty much throwing darts at a board here.
I was gonna say about the same as like just rolling dice because I'm guessing.
Okay, so the last movie is 13 Ghosts. Did it come out in 2001, 2002, or 2003?
Phil's up by 1 point.
1. 3.
Phil takes it. It's 2001.
So Phil is the pretty, pretty princess.
I love that film.
I haven't seen that in a very long time.
Would you say a hot minute?
A hot minute. It's been a hot minute.
All right. So, Phil, since you won the game, you're going to start us off. What's your 2-sentence impression of Sinister?
My impression of it?
In 2 sentences, or less, or
way
more.
Way too average ghost film about a writer that unleashes a ghosty demon girl. It's not that good. That's my impression.
Elisa, had to watch it in the day.
2-sentence impression.
Yeah.
I have a reel-to-reel machine and film reels similar to what is presented in this
movie. Is it in the dumpster now?
One. And sentence 2 is, this is why I haven't cleaned it up or figured out what's on it.
Good point.
I don't know what's on it. I've had this thing for years. So it's my dad's, like, it's Super 8 film that he took from when we were kids. And I just, the whole premise of watching old films on reel-to-reel with that, like, rattling noise and, like, the grainy quality and it's slightly sped up and stuff. I just don't want to see my baby sisters and I in that light.
Or whatever else
but
might be
on those
films. I
just don't
want to
see us as murder victims or ghosts.
Fair. That's legit.
Could you imagine or she just like cranks it up and they like, you know.
I don't like that sound.
Really?
The
flapping of reel.
Yeah.
It's so spooky.
It is
so spooky.
I think because it's been
spooky, spooky.
Like to Phil's point, because that's been it's kind of tropey and it's been used so much. That's all I associate it with now. So I'm like, oh, it's probably just like very banal, boring, you know, family films. But I just don't want to watch them because they're going to be creepy.
That's fair.
Thanks.
And who knows what else could be on it?
It's true.
I know.
Like maybe the lawnmower scene.
Like the lawnmower.
The
scene.
The lawnmower scene. You. Yeah.
It's like, you know, the VHS roulette where it's like, is it an old TV show? Is it a home movie? Is it porn?
Is it snuff?
Oh, God.
Is it home porn?
Who knows? I think, like, so something funny happened when the lawnmower scene came on and, like, we were like, Tony, it's your least favorite, your least favorite video. But as soon as it started, like, the inside door opened on its own. It was super windy, but like the inside door opened on its own, and then it was just like, then came the scene with like the lawnmower going over the and it was just like, I hate this, fuck this, I hate it.
Yeah, no, it was super creepy.
It was kind of creepy, but like, I know it was the wind, but it was like, of course it would do it right at this point.
Why is that your least favorite scene of the whole film?
Oh, I just hate the idea of like lawnmowers for some reason. Like, it's one of those things. It's like the ice skating thing.
I hate the idea
of
having a lawnmower on my face.
I hate the concept.
No.
I hate rotating blades.
That's a valid fear.
It's like one of those things where it's like I've seen some people repairing lawnmowers and shit who don't take proper safety precautions.
And bad things happen.
And bad things happen, right? And even then, like, I had to stop.
Anything with rotating blades.
Right? I had a kid over at one point, and he was mowing our lawn, and the lawnmower blade got jammed. And so he just turned it over to try and unjam it. And
no,
I was just like,
No.
And I was like, okay. And I went, I like unplugged it before he could get in there. Like, I was like, what are you doing? Like, fuck's sakes, that's how you lose a hand.
Yep. See, like, I also don't like rotating blades. I had a patient who, it was him versus a boat blade.
Oh,
Jesus. Oh, no.
Yeah. So I've seen trauma caused by rotating blades, and I don't.
So
like,
I
don't.
Have, not this Phil, but I have an Uncle Phil who got flipped over the end of a boat and had it run over his face.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they had to completely rebuild his face.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
No.
With skin from his ass.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. Well. It's usually the thigh or the butt.
Yep.
That's where they take donor skin from.
So he had to have his, because of spinning blades, had to have his face rebuilt.
I have like
how does he look now?
Irrational fears.
Probably about 20 years younger.
Yeah.
Because they rebuilt it off an old photo.
Oh.
That's awesome. I love it.
So,
I mean, that's okay.
That's some good plastic surgery right there. That is some, well done. Good job, plastic surgeons.
Imagine giving like a yellowed Polaroid and be like, yep, yeah, that's what he looked like. Don't worry. And this is the most recent picture you've got. Yep, swear.
It was a picture, I'm pretty sure, from the 70s.
That's awesome.
Oh, nice.
That's hilarious.
So they just rebuilt his picture off of, like, a young picture of him.
I love it.
So he looks so much younger than his wife. No Botox required.
Just extensive reconstructive surgery.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
All.
It's yeah, fine.
Just
it's fine.
Plastic surgery.
Don't forget that's the trauma. Bad.
Don't forget the trauma.
Don't forget the trauma.
I think he moved back to England now, though, so...
Like, Canada fucked up my face, Jesus.
I'm out of this hole.
I'm fuck this place, I'm out.
Canada fucked up my face. That's a new sentence.
Can we talk about irrational fears for a second?
Oh yeah, yes. Sure.
Okay,
wait, are you bringing up my irrational fear of small children?
No.
Please don't.
No.
That's not irrational.
That's not irrational, but
that's perfectly sensible.
So I just want to know, because I have an irrational fear, and somebody told me something over the weekend that just like spiked my irrational fear, and I was like, why would you tell me that? So my irrational fear is having a bridge collapse while I'm on it, whether it be a pedestrian bridge or I'm driving on it.
Okay.
And so I was told that all the bridges in the United States are structurally unsound.
Yep.
And all of them. And I was like, never driving in the States ever again. Thank you very much, Adam, for telling me this. Thank you. I was
that's
like,
a blanket
why?
Statement I can 100% believe.
I was like,
none of that.
And I told, yeah. And I was
zero.
Like, really? Like, that is my irrational fear. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And
see,
I'm like,
mine is getting my fingers chopped off by an ice skate, but like, you know.
Whoa, yeah, that's
very specific. On that
one. See, I used to be a figure skater, so that would be that very much would be a possibility when I was a kid, because I also did take a blade, the back of a blade to my leg.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
a scar.
Knee, that's why you don't adventure anymore.
No, I have a scar from because this girl and I collided. She was doing a backwards jump, and I was going forward, and her skate came right into my leg.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for some reason, it's why I don't skate. I just have this weird, like, vision of me falling and someone running over my hand.
Right? Mm-hmm. Elisa, do you have an irrational fear?
I have an irrational fear of sea creatures. Sometimes I'll be swimming in a public pool that has no sea creatures in it, and I'll think about sharks and have to get out.
Wait, don't you paint sea creatures?
I do. It's my therapy.
Oh, okay. It's facing cool. your fears.
It's to make me.
It's yes, facing your fears.
I paint things that make me nervous.
See, I also have an irrational fear of open closets while I'm sleeping.
Tasha does too.
Okay.
Totally sensible.
I'm not. Well, it stemmed from my dad. Like, when I would ask my dad when I was a child to check my closet, he would always, like, he would open the closet and he'd be like, oh, good night, Frank. And then close my closet and walk out. And I was like, what? There is a man named Frank living in my closet.
And he's on a first name basis. Yeah.
Okay. So that's better than my grandfather hiding under my bed when I was a kid once, just to grab my ankles as I was going to bed.
No! Phil, do you have an irrational fear like the rest of us?
Or maybe son of
unrelated. At this.
You're like, no, what the fuck is wrong with what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Untreated, you know, trauma from your past?
It's Canada.
Probably.
Canada fucked up my childhood.
Canada fucked up my face.
With an irrational fear we're afraid of Canada fucking up my face. It's nothing like super specific, but I am afraid of glitter. I think Tony knew that.
Yes, I did know that.
Glitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
What will it do to you?
It'll suffocate him.
I don't know. It's weird too, because like if it's on like a Christmas tree, Christmas is fantastic, but if it's on like a tree or something like that, and I'm just not near the tree, I could be like 6 feet away from it, and I'm fine. It's only when it's really like on me that it bothers me. I just need to like
just shower,
wash, yeah, just and
shower, and then burn down the shower,
know,
and then
I love
move.
You, Phil, but there's some times when you explain this, and I'm like, I just want to glitter bomb you.
I'm living in constant fear of you, assholes.
I have a shit ton of glitter for my burlesque days. We can make this happen.
There's the Mark Robler glitter bomb. That's.
I was at a Halloween party once, and somebody was like an angel or something like that. So she was covered in glitter, and yeah, I didn't notice because it was dark in the house, and she gave me a hug, and then I went to the washroom, turned the lights on, and I simply had a big old panic attack. It was great.
And then, wow.
Yeah.
All right, so we've all explained our irrational fears. And I have a question. Would you guys watch the films in that box? I know Elisa wouldn't. If you found that box in an attic, you just moved into that house.
Nope.
Yes.
No, ma'am. I'm pretty sure Natasha and I... Well, I'm pretty sure Natasha and I were like, no, no way. We wouldn't do this in the dark. But...
Would you have a party?
Yes. If it was Natasha and I watching it in the daytime.
You invite everybody over. You're like, I found this box and then also this projector and let's set it up and have a party and watch these together.
Yes. And this is cursed and that is cursed. Now we're all cursed.
Now we're all cursed. And this one's wet and this one's wet.
I mean, share and share alike.
Right?
My curiosity about something along those lines would get the better of me, and like I also mentioned earlier, I don't believe in ghosts, so I don't really care about that kind of stuff. It wouldn't be very nice if I just put them in and saw like a gruesome murder, but if it was just like spooky stuff, then sure, whatever, I don't care. That I can explain away with Photoshop.
I bet 99.9% of the time it's something boring. It's somebody's family films, it's somebody, you know, filming a vacation.
Yeah.
There's just like the faint possibility of it being something awful or creepy that you're never going to unsee. And also something that was
can't unsee.
Not made for public consumption necessarily. I think that
homemade porn.
Really creepy about it.
What you homemade think? Porn, not made for public consumption.
Homemade
not
porn.
Suitable for work.
Badly lit.
See, the one tape
bad angle.
That really, really bothered me in this one was the one with the car. Because of the sound. Because the sound playing as like the camera's panning over the car, it reminded me very much of Operation Wandering Soul. And if you don't know about that.
Yeah, the
it's something that the American
military
used to use in Vietnam. To play off their fear of quote unquote wandering souls, so they would play all these like moaning
eerie
and
sounds.
Eerie sounds in the nighttime, so they wouldn't be attacked, and they would scare the Viet Cong because they thought there would be spirits in the jungle because of these sounds that the military was playing. So it was very, very eerie to me, and I'm like, I don't. Thanks. I hate it.
All right. So have I ever told you guys about what we deemed the murder room?
The murder room?
In this house?
No.
Oh, more information.
Am I not going to ever want to come to this house ever again?
Okay. So when we moved in, first off, the guy who owned the house previously, there was a giant velvet.
Can you answer my question?
Hold on, hold on.
Like watching the film again.
All right.
Sorry.
So
shut up about the rest of this story. Can you just answer my question?
This is where she finds out that everyone died in the same house.
I want to know.
All right. So
I mean, I know that's what happened in the murder mystery last year, but.
But downstairs, under the stairs, under the landing for the, because we have switchback stairs. In the back room, there's what we've dubbed the murder room. And the reason we dubbed it that was because it's got a plywood door that was had a big 1-inch bolt that you could only close from the outside. And then on the inside were shelves and a little stool and kids' books and like a Nutcracker doll, and that was it.
Hmm. So,
and some Dunkaroo packets.
Oh, fuck. So I'm very glad that I didn't move in because you had asked me when I was looking for a place to stay. You were like, oh, do you want to come and live in my basement? So I'm very glad I did not move in.
No murders actually happened on this property.
I know, but
we just think that the kids used it as a play area because it looked like it was just used as storage.
That is a horrifying play area, children. What are you doing?
The spookiest thing is like the abandoned toys.
Yeah, it's just like
right?
a bunch
and
of abandoned,
the abandoned toys in the books.
Well, the thing is, the family that moved out of here had teenagers, so I think they just didn't give a fuck.
Still.
And anyway, so I took that Nutcracker.
Here with your rational explanations for why it's
right.
Like
so anyway,
let
that
me
Nutcracker.
Have this irrational fear, okay?
Exactly.
That Nutcracker that I found. So the first two people we had living in the basement here was my brother and our friend Josh. And I would take that Nutcracker out and I would put it places, and like I would put it there.
So you would like elf on the shelf this motherfucking Nutcracker?
Yeah, just all.
Oh my
all
god!
And then I realized that Josh sleeps in the same spot. He had a queen size bed, but he slept in the same spot all the time. So I put it under the blankets on the other side. And he found it while he was sleeping.
That's horrifying.
You're a human monster.
That's horrifying.
It was awesome.
Did he come screaming upstairs?
Yes.
Did he throw the Nutcracker in your face?
He did.
Good.
Threw it at me.
Good.
Very
I'm glad
angrily.
Because I would do the same goddamn thing.
To be fair, there was another instance. Josh wasn't always observant. I have a thing. I like thunderstorms. So I came downstairs at one point, and we have these picture windows, and I'd opened up the window, and I'd positioned a chair kind of off to one side so I could look out and down the street, but I wasn't directly in the light, and I left all the lights off so I could watch a thunderstorm, right? Because I just wanted to watch a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
Well, Josh comes up out of the basement, and this was after my brother had moved out, but Josh was still living with us. So he comes up, he stands at the window, and I realize I'm sitting, like, probably from me to Sarah, which is, like, you know, almost arm's length, but not quite, from him. And I'm sitting there for a couple minutes with him standing there watching the thunderstorm with me, and I'm like, he doesn't know I'm here.
Oh, no!
Right? And so I'm, like, sitting there, I'm like, he just doesn't fucking know I'm here. And so I wait, and I'm like, at one point, I'm like, I should say something. I'm like, no, I'm gonna spook him. Like, there's no way, like, he's not gonna cake his pants. Like, kind of deal, right? And so I go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait until he either sees me there or he leaves. So then he leaves. And the second he gets downstairs, I text him. I was like, man, it was great watching the thunderstorm. And he comes running back upstairs. And he's like, there's no way you were sitting there the whole time. I'm like, I was sitting here the whole fucking time.
Yeah, I was sitting here the whole time. That's hilarious.
To this day, I go, I should have scared him. But at the same time, like, I think it's funnier that I didn't.
Yeah. It's way funnier that you texted him, just being like, it was so nice watching the thunderstorm with you.
Oh, that was a delightful
that
moment.
That was so romantic.
Yeah. Wow, we're really not talking about
like
Sinister.
No, we're really not.
It wasn't that good.
All right. Even though we're rambling totally off topic, but still on, like, semi-horror related stuff. I do think it's time for us to talk about, it's time for us to play game number two.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Show me the money.
Show me the money!
Now you've had enough.
All right, so Phil, you won the last game, so you're going to start us off. We're going to play The Price is Right. Me and Sarah have a bunch of numeric categories. You guys are going to try and guess them. Closest with without going over gets the point. If you get a bang on, it's worth double points.
Oh, Katie's not here. I was going to be like, remember, the budget for Star Wars was $11
million. I still find it helpful and appreciated.
Okay. Well, Elisa, the budget for Star Wars is $11 million.
And if you guys are both over...
Dollars?
Yes.
We'll start the round over and we'll switch. All right.
$11 million.
So speaking about budgets, let's start there. Phil, what do you think the budget for this movie is in millions, not thousands?
I'm quite surprised about that.
Not many, I'm sure. $5 million?
He says five. Elisa?
I'm going to say three.
Ooh, Elisa gets double points. $3 million is the budget.
Wow, that is a low budget movie.
Right?
Yeah.
I know, I was looking at that, I'm like, that can't be right.
That is right.
That is right.
It's a Blumhouse.
Okay.
All right, next up.
You say that like I should know what it means.
It's just the production company that made it. They make a lot of horror movies.
Yes.
Next up,
they don't spend a lot of money.
Domestic. Elisa, you're starting us off. What do you think this made in domestic box office in millions, not thousands?
11.
1-1. Phil.
$11 million.
20.
20.
Ooh, Phil gets the point because it is $48 million.
Oh, good for
you. Yeah, right? You're like, Phil, like, really?
All right, next.
I understand that films can be awful and people will still go and see them.
Very true.
All right, next up. Foreign box office. Our foreigner will start us off here. Foreigner, what is the foreign box office?
I have a name, and it is Dusty Box. Phil. With three X's.
Dusty Box. That was my leg.
I'm sorry.
Box X. I don't know how to make multiple X sounds.
Just trail the X.
Box.
Foreign box office, eh?
Yes, box office.
I'll go. Let's go 30 then.
30?
30? Alright. Elisa?
40.
Phil takes the point again, because $34 million. You were over by 6.
So this movie had a net profit at box office of $79.5 million.
Good for it.
Wow. Indeed.
All right, Elisa.
For a $3 million budget movie.
You're starting us off on the next category. What do you think the domestic opening weekend was?
I've already forgotten what it made.
48.
7 million.
7. Phil.
Go with 8.
Oh, dirty.
He's a dirty dusty box.
He's a dirty dusty box. The opening weekend was $18 million. Yeah. And so Phil gets a point.
I was first going to actually say 20. I'm glad I went lower.
decided to fuck over Elisa there.
Yeah.
You lowballed and it paid off.
All right, so you dirty, dusty box. You, it's time for the Totten Tomato ratings. What do you think the critic rating is for this movie in percentage?
Oh, it did like really, really mediocre. I'll go with 55.
55?
55.
And Elisa?
I was 60.
How dare you?
Elisa gets the point because it is 63.
63.
63.
We're even.
All right, you guys are even. And on the last one, Elisa, the Totten Tomatoes audience rating percentage, what do you think it is? Critics say 63. What do you think the audience thinks?
I'm going to go 70.
70. Phil.
60.
Phil is so close to double points because it's 61.
Damn! No, whatever.
I know, I've done that multiple times.
All right, so Phil remains to keep the crown. He is our reigning princess.
But he gets a disadvantage for the last game.
Which is the only one.
Dirty box princess, thank you.
Dusty. Get it right. No, get dirty, your own dirty. Name it right.
Was, it was
Dirty Dusty.
Dusty Box. Box.
Princess Dusty Box. Okay.
Princess Dirty Dusty Box. Because he done dirty. All right. All so, right. What do you guys think about the fact that Ethan Hawke buys this house and doesn't tell his wife?
Dirty.
Super upsetting.
What about Super. The fact that it's a murder house?
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think I've ever met, I'm assuming present company excluded, anybody that wouldn't be cool with that idea. Like, of buying a murder house. But I know a lot of strange people.
Me and Tasha were talking about this, and it was like, she even said, well, if you told me up front, I'd probably be okay with it, but it's finding out after the fact.
Yeah, that you've already,
makes,
but
that
yeah.
That absolutely makes it shitty for him.
It's like, oh, yeah, like, let's get this house, and oh, by the way, like.
Also, who the secret. Fuck purchases a house without telling their goddamn wife? Like, without having her input on that decision?
Ethan Hawke's character, apparently.
That relationship.
Wait, did it mention specifically that she didn't know the house was purchased, period?
Well, no, because he said, I bought the house because we were in financial problems and it was a steal of a deal. So the way it's, like, said...
because he also mentions something about not paying two mortgages.
Yeah, because he's currently still paying the mortgage on his other house.
Ow.
Okay.
So
I
it's just
assumed
like,
that she knew about it, honestly.
Well, okay, here's the thing, though. If she was involved in the decision, she'd probably know it was a fucking murder house.
She might.
Wait, is
not.
This movie set in Virginia? Where realtors have to disclose the fact that somebody was murdered
I'm
in
pretty
that
sure
house?
Most states have that law, and they have that law here.
I only know this from American Horror Story, but is it true that if a certain amount of time has passed that you don't have to bring it up?
It varies state to state.
Oh, but
and technically
are you
it's only
watching
if it's the...
AHS 2?
I only saw the first
season.
We will
I'm rewatching the first season.
Oh, nice. It is
excellent. Very excellent.
My main issue with him not telling his wife about it was that she was obviously not okay with them living two houses down from a murder house.
Which was the previous
one. The last time he did this.
Which
yeah,
it
so
would have been way easier if he just actually bought one two houses down, and then everything could have been said as it was, and nothing would ever happen. He could do his business, but he had to live there like an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Or he could rent it and live there alone and do his research on his own. He didn't have to bring his entire family mm-hmm. with him. That was also a little bit weird. And then when they go back to the house that they had, I'm like, it's a mansion. Like the place he was living, I'm like, what kind of like financial success did he have as a writer?
Apparently pretty good.
Apparently.
But it being a decade since he'd
so
had success.
Case, rent it. There's no need to buy it. There's no need to move the entire family.
There's no need to
also,
even fucking rent
he has
it.
He has the luxury of like living there or of like kind of being there. It looks like he's not running the kids to school. He's not doing any of the grocery shopping. He's not having to interact with any of the townsfolk in any way. So it's just his family that's going to experience that ostracism, not him.
Fair.
You
That's
know what?
Totally fair.
There's just a lot.
Yeah,
there.
I think that brings up Tasha's.
Like, I don't like
this. Tasha made a point while watching this with us because she was sitting there and she loves horror movies. That she said, "What would happen?" Because whole part of this is that you know it's not till they move and there's a family in that house and that family moves. So what would happen if someone buys the house who doesn't have fucking children? Would Bagul like
he just hangs out
because he
goes
eats,
into
he's
a
the eater of children.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then he'd just wait there. He's an immortal demon thing until they die or move and then a family moves in. And then he gets a kid and then kid murders and then carry on.
I was going to say, is that going to mess up his groove?
You're throwing up
How does he get his groove back?
Aww.
He puts in all his work killing his family Bagul. And then a childless couple moves in. How fucking dare they?
How very dare you?
And then Bagul has to get his groove back.
Yeah. It is awful having your groove thrown off. That happened to me yesterday.
Oh.
While swimming.
Oh, no.
I collided with somebody because he was swimming the wrong way.
No.
How dare he?
How very dare. Anyway, continue.
How very dare.
But like, I just like,
that's a good question. If someone were to dare to throw off Bagul's rhythm,
would you just like throw them out of the window a la Emperor's New Groove? Or I'm sorry.
Like, or would he try to drive them out by like horrifying them?
Oh, good question.
Like, would he try to drive that person out?
Oh, that is a good question.
And then, would this movie even have happened? Because if Ethan Hawke had just rented the fucking place instead of, you know, there's no children, you know, Bagul would have been like, get out. And he would have been like, oh, this is creepy. But then he would never gotten the dusty box.
Get out. Don't come back without children.
Go make me a baby. Get in that kitchen and make
me a baby.
Did somebody lose a baby?
I'm sorry, but you've lost a baby. It's mine now. I found this baby. It's mine.
Wait. What would happen if a new family moved in and then a baby was born there?
Ooh. It would eat it.
A baby can't fucking...
How long does it have to wait? What if it's like a single baby? Can the baby go and commit all the murders? Could there be like a 9-month-old who's like, you know, crawling and smothering their parents?
Does Bagul have to wait until it can walk?
Like, I mean, that little, that little
or
girl.
It's like, and then Bagul like really has to build a relationship with them.
Or it's like, at least wait until it can hold its head up on its own.
And then Bagul becomes like, you know, a father figure to this child.
Yeah. Possesses the baby and then like, yeah.
I mean, I don't think it'd be out the realms of possibilities because the main murderer in the household.
I would actually like to see this movie.
Entire family, tied them up and then climbed a tree and sawed off a branch. So she was clearly stronger than a regular little girl.
Did she have the power?
No,
maybe
real
it took a really,
that
really, really
baby
long
could
time.
Not just stab up in the bog or grab a knife and kill his parents.
I think you underestimate
newborn babies.
Yeah, dude. I'd like to see the movie where Bagul is waiting for this kid to, like, you know, murder his family, like, get old enough to murder his family and, like, have that influence, but then he falls in love with the family, and then it's just like, my creepy Uncle Bagul.
Oh.
This would be a completely different movie.
Uncle Boogie!
Uncle Boogie! Oh, man.
I would watch
that. I would also kind of watch
that. Sounds really just sounds really
I'm gonna bring
sweet.
Uncle
just,
Boogie
like,
to
creepy
show
shadowy presence in all the photos. That's Uncle Bagul.
Yeah. Uncle Bagul.
Who's this? That's just
he
my Uncle
my
Boogie.
Homework.
He teaches me history.
I feel like he would be a good history teacher. I would want to be.
There's also the, like the jokey nature of all the films. Like they're all named stuff like
pool party,
and barbecue,
yeah.
And like they're.
Yep.
They're a little punny. Would you expect that of like a this you know, centuries old
entity
demon to make these kinds of jokes?
Well,
it's the kids making the jokes, right? Or like,
is it
yeah.
the kids?
Yeah.
So I assume from the way Phil didn't like this film and the fact that Elisa just watched it, you guys haven't watched Sinister 2.
I actually, whilst I was watching the film, was looking something up and found out that there was a Sinister 2. So, absolutely
so,
not.
In the second Sinister, it's...
Are we the only ones that like this film in this podcast?
Apparently.
Okay.
Yeah, Elisa just had to watch it during the day.
Fair enough.
Hey,
okay.
But anyway, so like in Sinister 2, you find out it's the kids making the videos.
Yep.
They're behind the camera, and it's their offering to Bagul to become one of his brood.
It makes a lot more sense when you watch the second one.
And Deputy So-and-So is the primary character in the second one.
That's right.
I liked Deputy So-and-So a lot.
So it's him about him trying to stop these chains by burning down houses because he finds out Bagul has multiple of these chains, so it's not just one house.
Right. I'm going to have to watch the second one again.
Yeah, because he even finds out that there's like a chain in Sweden going on and stuff like that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so like he's starting to find that
it's like a multi-level murder.
Bagul
of
murder.
Bagul
murder.
Multi-level marketing scheme. It's not a pyramid scheme, I swear.
Bagul's at the top.
And all these kids making offerings to him. And if you get
excuse
a kid to join,
me. Excuse me, sir. Can I talk to you? Have you heard about the good word of Bagul?
I need to talk to my upline.
Yeah.
Actually, in the second one, it's the ghosts of the kids are trying to recruit the new kid.
Right.
And we kind of see that a little bit in this one when, you know,
have you
he finds
Bagul today.
When he finds Ashley, or when Ashley's in bed and he's found the real is running. and Ashley's pretending to be asleep, but she's staring at the ghost girl. So in the second one, you find out that the ghosts are showing their videos to the kids to try and inspire them to create their own.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to have to watch that again.
It's kind of great.
So it's Bagul's
kids inspiring other kids to murder.
Bagul's Bagul's MLM.
Want to join the army of Bagul?
The cult of Bagul.
You too can be infamous like me.
The church of Bagul. I mean, have you hailed Bagul today? I love it.
All right. I think that brings us to game number 3. All right. So it's time for us to play the Awesome Lodge Word Game.
Excellent!
Now, Phil, you currently have the disadvantage. Alisa gets to pick both your categories, and you have to go first. Sarah's going to have 2 minutes to try and get you guys to each answer 10.
I apologize.
Figure out 10 movies within a category. The categories are Ethan Hawke movies, movies with killer kids, movies with demons and devils.
Ooh, that's fun.
And 2012 box office topping movies.
What?
Oh, wow.
So, Alisa, what category do you want to give to Phil?
Phil, how old are you?
He was born in 1882 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
9.
So I'll give him 2012.
He's Bagul age.
89.
Sorry, you're right. 89. All right, so you gave him 2012. So do you want Ethan Hawke?
No, wait, you said 89?
Yeah, he's 89.
99, no, you would have been watching a bunch of that stuff by then. You'd be in your
too late. You said it.
Is it too late, Tony? Can I change?
No, you can change your mind. You haven't picked your own category.
Phil's
damn
like,
you
no!
editing powers.
Phil, are you an Ethan Hawke fan?
Yes.
I don't think he is.
I'm like, is that true?
Phil, name an
just
Ethan Hawke film.
Yes, and then sigh.
I don't want to. I'm really drunk. I just took up drinking again. And I just can't remember all of my favorite Ethan Hawke films that I have many of.
Oh.
God damn it. You're not making this easy.
What? Oh.
All right. Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, I'll give him Ethan Hawke. Ethan Hawke films.
Right. I am Ethan sorry
Falcon
in
films.
Advance.
Oh, really?
No, like, no, I'm apologizing to Phil. Like, I'm always
oh, it's a good
so...
decision for you, Alisa.
It is a good decision mm-hmm. for you.
And I'll take demon movies.
Yeah.
Movies with demons and devils.
Yes, please.
All right. So, Phil, are you ready to name the Falcon?
No, I'm not ready.
No, I'm not ready at all.
Okay.
Sarah, are you ready?
Yes.
Starting in 3, 2, 1... Yep.
This is the one where he's a cop with, and he's learning, and the main character's like, King Kong ain't got shit on me. It's two words. If you're learning and you are in... Okay. So next one. It's not after, but...
Before?
Yeah, and it's not... This setting, it is the, like, what sets at the end of the day.
Before sunset?
Yes,
before
but when...
sunrise.
Yes.
Not, okay, not black, but...
White.
And vampires have these with their teeth, and they...
White fang?
Yes.
Yep.
And if you are not dead, you are...
Alive.
And again, so it is not after, but
think
of the second movie I had you guess. Work with
no
me, Phil.
If
it is not after, it is
before.
Yes, and it is. If it's not rising, it is
setting.
Yes. So what sets?
Sun.
Yes, so put it all together.
Before the setting sun.
No! Jesus fuck, Phil! Work with me, man! Okay, so...
I will just give up on this crown. I have no fucking clue whatsoever.
So, about... when, Okay, so there's one where...
Time!
Fuck.
Hooray.
Jesus Christ, 3 points.
I'm so sorry.
I
apologize to you in advance. All right,
so the
Phil.
First one was training day. And then she was trying to get you to say before sun set. So I knew Ethan Hawke was going to be hard. So I put his... he's in a trilogy of movies called Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and Before Midnight. And I put all three of them in there. And I'm like, oh yeah, once someone gets the first one, the rest will be easy.
I have zero idea what I think
any of those movies are. Yeah,
no,
at all. Never.
Okay,
and she didn't even get to Daybreakers.
So the rest were Assault on Precinct 13, Lord of War, Daybreakers, Taking Lives, and Before Midnight.
Phil has 3 points, Lisa. Can you beat that?
Those are very hard to describe.
Just
without...
gonna put this crown over here, by Lisa.
Okay. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Also,
starting in 3, 2, 1, Satan!
This is a band, and they try to get something that they play guitar with. Like, in, when they strum the guitar, it's... Yep, of... Yep, but what's the band name?
Oh,
Yeah! This was a really bad fashion trend in the 90s. Rhymes with vajazzled. Yes.
Yeah.
This one, wow. the actor actually died during filming because he was shot. It is.
The crow.
Yep. And this one is a cartoon that's really inappropriate. And it, like, it's not north, but it's.
South.
Yeah. And there's, you know, like a big. A thing like outdoors, but it's like it's another word for that. Like,
screw you guys, I'm getting him.
That's the one.
Elk's South Park.
Yep.
Bigger, longer.
Yes. Yep. And if it's not the beginning, it is.
End.
Yep. And put it all together.
End of days.
Blank, blank, blank. End. Like, oh no.
End. No.
But it, like, there's a blank, party. Blank, they have a party, and then the end of the world happens.
Oh, jeez. I can't.
This one is, it, like, the main character is an angel? Kind of? No.
Constance.
Yes. this is a man who has a motorcycle and a flaming skull head. And he whips people with a chain.
Shit,
yes,
Cage.
It is,
oh,
Nicolas
shit.
Cage.
Yep.
Yes.
He's the devil's son. And he talks kind of like this.
Popeye, chicken to his neck.
The devil's son and talks like that.
Not left, but...
Time.
Right.
She got it.
Yay. That was much...
I think
that...
I got every single one of those with ease.
Well, it wasn't your turn.
This is the end.
It, Phil?
It's not fair.
This is the end.
And then little Nikki. Because Popeye is just a chisnit.
Popeyes is the shiznit. I love Popeyes.
And then we didn't get to Event Horizon. But Elisa got 6 out of 10. More than... Oh, sorry, 7. More than double what Phil did.
Sorry, Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
And he's sober this time.
You know what's
I
funny?
Told you that I said I apologized in advance because I'm very bad.
Off, when you first read off all of the options, I was like, "Oh shit! I hope she gives me the 2012 ones." And then you just like, "Do you know Ethan Hawke?" I'm like, fuck.
I like how you didn't.
I did like your response. It was
you
yes,
didn't finish this one.
I love him. He's in so many.
I like it.
That I love.
Thank you.
All right, so what do you guys think about the end of this film? Phil.
Tell us how you really feel.
I think it ended pretty well. I think, like, as a whole, the film
on the whole.
Good. I know I'm going back on what I just said.
Preparation H feels good on the whole, yes.
Ew.
But it's a good story. It's a good idea. I just do not find ghost films scary or entertaining in the slightest. So that's probably just my little bias coming in with it.
So what do you think about the little girl killing her father?
It sounds like entrapment. How do you feel about that? Oh, it was really good. I loved it when kids kill fathers.
He's a murderer! I knew it!
Murder.
No, it all worked really, really well. Like I said, it all wrapped up. It was great. The story was good. But I think, for me personally, the entire film would have worked better if it was more of a drama than a horror film.
Fair enough.
Like an investigative kind of thing.
So, you're not a fan of the ghost part of it. So, the fact that it's more like pagan lore, you don't like that part at all?
It's not real pagan lore, but no, not like any
pseudo-pagan kind of lore.
It's the whole
faux pagan, if you will.
Like, thing that can just be invisible and fucking knock books off of a table, and I don't find that scary. That's just people with, like, catgut on the other side of the room yanking a cup off the desk. And one of my least favorite things in any film is shitty loud noises just for a cheap scare. That's not horror. That's just a small animal coming around the corner too fast to do that to me. It will make me jump. But I don't think, it's good filmmaking, in my opinion.
Speaking of things that made you jump, the jump scare got me so bad.
The one at the very end?
No, the one where he pops his head up into the attic, and then he sees all the children watching the video, and Bagul's in the background. Oh. Like, I've seen this before. I've seen this movie before, and I knew it was coming, but I forgot that it was like I'm like, oh, he's gonna come out of the screen and get right, I forgot he pops out from the side, and I literally screamed out loud, covered my face, and then started laughing hysterically.
She was red-faced.
It was terrible. I was like, I knew this was coming, and yet it still got me really, really bad. Jump scares don't normally get me.
Even with me behind?
Yeah, no.
Yelling at you?
Yeah,
that one in particular was done a little bit better. Because
that was a well-earned jump scare.
When you were looking at the kids and then you could see him at the back.
Yeah.
You could see him begin to run. So you were focused on that, and that's when it like takes you out. That one was actually done well for a jump scare because it took your attention somewhere else and thought something completely different was going to happen. And then just slapped
you
in the face.
For something completely different.
Yeah.
Yes. The rest of them, it was just...
But normally, I've watched plenty of scary movies with you. I've watched Spring. We watched The Haunting of Hill House.
Mm-hmm.
We've watched lots of movies that have jump scares, and normally they don't get me like that. But I don't know why. I was just
And then
like,
the door opened.
And then the door opened, and I was like, God, no. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. I was not having any of it.
Elisa, what do you think about the ending?
I thought it was fine. This is
it's fine.
Sorry, it's fine.
It's tropey.
I feel like when did this movie come out again? It was 2012, something
like
that.
Right before the end of the world.
But
and we entered the bad timeline.
First end.
No, the end of the world. It actually happened in 2012. We're in the bad timeline now.
The alternate.
I wonder when my goatee is going to arrive in the mail. But well, I feel like around this time, or like just prior to it, sort of like in the years during that period, there were just like a lot of horror films that had like sort of a gotcha denouement at the end every time. So everyone appears to have survived and gotten away and everything's fine. And I get that this is like a normal part of the trope, but I just kind of went, it's fine. Like this is more of like an overall feeling, I think, but... It's overall
it's fine.
A pretty solid little horror film that was made on a budget. I like that Blumhouse will take some risks because like they make just a ton of stuff and they throw like a little bit of money here and a little bit of money there and then they make like a bunch of different offerings. So it's
offerings to Bagul.
Offerings to Bagul. Little children offerings. Oh, I see what
blessed
you did there.
Blessed be
Bagul.
Blessed be Bagul.
Have you heard the good word of Bagul?
Do you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Savior?
Do you want to come to my Bagul party?
Can I interest you in signing up? Yeah, do you want to come to my Bagul party?
There's free samples.
It's a killer time.
Your small children friends.
It's a killer time, Jesus.
Wah, wah. I was waiting for that. I was like, come on, that was a good one, guys. Oh, that was a good one. I like that.
All right, it's time for One Thing I Learned. One thing I learned is that if I buy a murder house, I'm telling my wife before we move in.
Make her part of the
I'll
decision.
Make her part of the decision-making process on buying murder houses. Actually, we kind of discussed it during the movie.
It's true.
If a house has had one murder, we'll still buy it. But if it's had multiple murders over years, no.
Off the table.
Yeah, that shit's bad.
Bad juju.
Yeah. I might buy it to burn it down. From a distance.
Buy it to burn it
down. Kill it with fire.
Yeah, buy it, burn it down, and build again.
Fill it with 2 bottles of lighter fluid and then light it immediately while you're looking.
No, I will, like, from the driveway, throw, like, as many matches as I can.
Throw a Molotov. That's all you gotta do.
Oh. Tony, I can just see you lighting matches and throwing them, and they're just, like, falling short, and you're just having to slowly get closer and closer.
No, I am just a fire starter. I know how to make a fire.
I am not. I learned this a couple weekends ago.
Elisa, what did you learn? Fires.
I learned that snakes don't have feet. What's that? Yes, I did write this down in anticipation of this question because I heard that and kind of scream laughed for a couple minutes. Snakes don't have feet. I'm like, oh.
I guess scorpions have feet, but they don't make noise like
that. They don't make noise like squirrels.
Yeah, you must have squirrels because squirrels have feet. And they will make, but snakes do not. And also scorpions have feet, but you won't hear them the way that you will hear squirrels.
Phil, what did you learn?
I've learned that if there is a malevolent being living in my house, I'll turn it into an Airbnb that's haunted. And then nobody has to live there. It will be stuck there forever, and I'll make a ton of money.
Haunted Ooh. Airbnb. Genius. Well, good. Brilliant.
Well yeah. done.
That's a Bagul multi-level marketing scheme.
Right?
I'll call around and be like, hey.
You can put it in the ad, like, potentially haunted? Question mark?
Question mark? Question mark?
Do you want to take the risk?
Do you want to stay where gruesome murders have happened? Perhaps the ghosts linger behind.
Maybe.
Sarah, what did you learn?
I learned to not watch Super 8 films in the dark. Because bad shit happens.
Bad juju.
Bad juju. Well,
solid yep. lesson.
All right.
And also that snakes don't have feet.
All right, so it's time for ratings. So, Elisa, what would you rate this movie out of 5 and why?
3.5.
Not a 5?
You know, I'm working on myself. I'm going to be
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
I'm very proud of you.
This isn't her first time giving something a 3.5, but...
That's true.
The last thing I gave is
3.5. Chasing Molly.
Oh,
But
yeah.
To be fair, like, we all gave A League of Their Own a 5.
That's a legit 5.
That's a legit 5.
Agreed. That's a well-earned 5. It is a well-earned 5. This is fine. I'm not going to talk this about this movie to anybody tomorrow. Like, it's not something I'm going to be like, oh, I watched Sinister last night and you should watch it. It's fine. It's enjoyable. I don't think there's any glaring flaws. There's nothing wrong with it, but I also kind of don't think it really adds much to the genre, if that makes sense. Like, it doesn't really change anything or make any significant movement forward. It's a nicely packaged, enjoyable film to pass some time. But something like A League of Their Own is, frankly, it's groundbreaking, amazing, really moving. Adds to your knowledge of baseball history and so on. Like, it does a lot of...
You learned so much on that podcast.
Things. And and a movie like this is... Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's a
3.5. Phil, what would you give this and why?
I'll give it a 2.5.
And it's I was so close. I was trying to guess, and I was like 2. I said 2 for Phil.
Yeah.
I was thinking 2, but I went a little bit up, and it's purely just because of the story. As a whole film, all the visuals and all the kids and stuff, it all just doesn't play well with me. I don't like those things at all. But like I said earlier, the actual story behind it, if it was done into a cop drama investigative type thing, I think it could be done really well.
That would be fun.
Honestly, I think it might even be better if you just took out all of the ghosts and just had you, like, have your mind play tricks on you whilst you're watching this regular show. Just have it about ghosts, since you can't see them.
That's
Sometimes
fair.
It just doesn't work very well.
I would like to see it if they did it what they did for Haunting of Hill House on Netflix, if they just like
put the ghosts in the background. And never had them interacting with them.
I feel like that would make it better. I do like this film.
So what would you rate it?
I would give it a 3.5.
Okay.
Yeah. It's tropey, but it is still like for the story, it is well done. Even though it is a bit of a trope, but it just there's some things that could have just been executed a little bit better.
Okay.
I think because of what happened and how much more is explained in the second film, it kind of falls short in that regard.
And the second film's not better. I just like the ending in the second film better.
True. The second film is not better, but the ending is better. So I still really enjoy this film. It's a good spooky film to watch during spooky season. So, I mean, 3.5. Solid 3.5. The jump scare got me real good and was very well earned. And, like, yeah, it was fun. Jump scares don't normally get me that bad, but that was hilarious.
That's fair.
Yeah. Tony, what would you give this out of 5 and why?
I give it a 3. And I normally would give this a 2.5, but I actually bumped it up to a 3 because I have a special stupid memory about this one, which I know I shared on the Conjuring episode, which is
the sinister. So
the first time I ever watched this movie, it was with my buddy Devo and his girlfriend. They were over. We were watching it pre-Halloween. And partway through the movie, I realized that I have the mask of Bagul in my Halloween decorations. I picked it up from a dollar store. I think the year after it came out, I found it in the dollar store. That's and I was amazing. Like, fucking, I bought it, not knowing what it was, just knowing it looked creepy. And so I just had it. And so what I did is, first off, both me and Devo screamed like little girls in the moment where the little girl face appears behind him while she's standing on the table. Both of us screamed like little girls. I will not deny that the first time we watched it. Devo will deny it, but I will say, honestly, he screamed. But
Devo is not a small man.
No. But anyway, so
Devo is a large man.
So while Devo was in the bathroom, which the bathroom's right beside the podcast room, and the podcast room has a glass door that's slightly reflective but not 100%. And so I turned off all the lights except for I left the computer on, the computer screen on, so it's just a low glow in the computer room. And I didn't stand in the doorway. I stood just outside of the doorway, so my face was reflected in the glass with the Bagul mask on. And I waited till he got to the end of the hallway, and I went, "Hello," just really quietly. And he turned around, screamed, and punch-kicked my wall.
I didn't punch-kick.
No, I waited till he was at the end of the hall.
Oh, God. Oh.
So he would just see the reflection of the mask with the, like, computer screen glow on it reflected in the glass.
Wasn't there also one where he was under the table?
Oh, that was years ago when we lived together. Right. We were watching Fringe, and I'd already seen the episode.
Right.
And I knew that a jump scare was coming. And 2 seconds before the jump scare, I screamed behind his head while lying on the couch, and he was lying under the table. And so he jumped up, smashed the table, and all the bottles fell on him. But
I'm never coming to your home again.
I don't do scare pranks anymore.
Oh, you tried to do it twice to me.
That's a lie.
That's what a person who does scare pranks all the time
would. Yeah, no, he tried to get me twice at the end of the movie. It didn't work out in his favor.
No.
See?
I do like scare pranks. I think they're hilarious. And my wife would kill me, so I don't do them to her.
There was one time my brother scared me so bad that I did, like, I jumped and did a spinning move, and I like spun, and my arm came flying up, and I like smoked him across the face. Like,
and you bitch slapped him.
I bitch slapped him. Like,
oh, no, backhanded. So you pimp slapped him.
Yeah, pimp slapped him. Like, I jumped and spun and like backhanded him across the face. I'm like, bitch, that's what you get for scaring me.
It's funny that I like I like to scare people, but don't scare me because I have the fight over flight response.
Yeah, so you're the one that like punches people in the throat in haunted houses.
I have done that. And my buddy decided to try and scare me in a Walmart by hiding in a clothes rack and jumping out at me. And I punched him and broke his nose.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Note to self, don't scare you.
Yep.
Canada fucking up faces again.
Canada will fuck your face. Wait, that's different. Anyway.
That is different.
This has been an episode of Flix X-Ray. I'd like to say a special thank you to my co-host, Mr. Boogie Sarah.
Ooh. And I would like to say a special thank you to our Dusty Box.
Dirty Dusty Box.
Princess Dirty Dusty Box. Bill.
Thank you.
You mean former princess because Deputy So-and-So Elisa. Thank you.
I feel crowned. Also, snakes don't have feet.
And scorpions put that have on feet, a shirt. But snakes don't have they feet. Won't, you won't hear them. Not the same as squirrels.
They have different
I have been the scorpion in your attic and host, Tony. Good night, Internet!
Good night.
Thank you for listening. I just wanted to remind you before you head on. This year, on November 7th, we are participating for the second time in the Extra Life charity event. For 24 straight hours, we will be streaming live as we play a tabletop RPG game. We decided to theme it on zombie survival because, you know, it's 2020. We'll be doing this to raise funds for the Alberta Children's Hospital Foundation. So to show support, find the link to our fundraising page on our website or on any one of our social media sites to donate. We look forward to seeing you all on November 7th. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of Flix X-Ray. If you've not already, please subscribe in your favorite podcasting app. And if you feel up to it, why not give us a review too? We'd love it. For this episode's show notes, please check out the episode page at our website, flixxray.com, and follow us on social media at the handle @flixxray. If you'd like to support the show, check out our merch on redbubble.com/flixxray, or you can become a Patreon at patreon.com/flixxray. Good night, Internet! And if you've enjoyed listening to our show, why don't you give this podcast a try?
Hey, my name's Paul, and I'm not an animal expert.
I'm Donna, and I'm not an animal expert either.
And together we do a podcast about animals called Varmints.
Every week we pick an animal, do a bunch of research on it, and bring you some interesting facts about that animal.
But we don't stop there. We talk about that animal in movies, TV, and other pop culture.
And we talk about whether or not that animal would make a tasty dish, and how intelligent we think it is on the scale of 1 to 10.
It's exactly like one of those fancy PBS nature documentaries.
Except with more poo jokes.
New episodes go live every Thursday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Or you can visit us at blazingcariboustudios.com.
Varmints! Varmints!